I grew up in North Carolina in a little town called Spring Hill. I was born there, and I lived there until 1957. That's when I left and came to Pennsylvania. Growing up there, it was all right. Then I had no problem with it. But as I grew older, I got to learn a little bit about how we was treated differently. When we went to the stores, we always had to go in the back and purchase what we had to get. The white people's restaurants couldn't go in the white people's bathroom. We had to work sharecropping, you call it, where we had to work year in and year out in the field. And at the end of the year, we got paid somewhat like $7 a week. And when it comes to the end of the year, when we did all of the work, they would always tell us that we didn't make anything. We used to just get our food on time, and then at the end of the week, when we get paid, in which we were supposed to get paid, they would just say we owe to the store in which we purchased our food, because they'd be like saying that we can't get no money because we owe to what we got during the week. They earned the money, and they would pay us a small amount weekly, like about $7 a week. But they'll say that we didn't have any money because we ate it up all through the year. Mm-hmm. But we didn't eat it up all through the year because it was very limited stuff that we had to eat. And my mom used to work in the white people's house, and they would like pay her $3 a week, and then she would have to take care of their children. Then she had to go and prepare their food for the winter, prepare their food for the summer. My mother take and raise the garden for them, and we'll go out there and we'll pick the food, tomatoes, corn, and all the stuff that she grew out there for them, and we had to go out there and pick it off in the vine and bring it to the house, and we have to pack it up and freeze it for their food for the winter. And my mama also used to cook their food, and when she cooked the food, we wasn't allowed to go and eat to the table with them. We would wait until they finished eating, and they straps that they done picked all over, then they'll tell me and my mom, because I would go there with her because I was the youngest of my family, and we would go and they'll tell us to go and sit on the porch and eat what they had left over. The white people had beautiful houses, beautiful cars. We didn't have no cars. We didn't have no TVs. We didn't have no phone. They had that. But as the years went on, our TV, very small little TV, and we got radio that, you know, you could put into the, run by electric. Mm-hmm. We had irons that we could put in the socket then, but that was like a long, that was like, my mom was working for the Hancock, so I was working for them since she was like 12 years old. I used to go with her up there every day, and they had a daughter and a son, and I used to play with her daughter until her daughter got in school among the other white kids, and they taught her prejudice. She used to get the bicycle. We didn't have no bicycle. She used to get the bicycle and come down to the house every day and get me and take me back over there to her mother and grandparent house. And to one day, after she got in school, and the other white kids started teaching her racial, because at first her parents, they would tell her that don't be prejudiced, because my mom worked for them. They had liked my mom. Mm-hmm. And one day she came to get me and brought me back up to where my mom was working for her grandparents, her mother. And she and I was out there playing in front of her mother's store, her grandmother's store. And she called me a nigger. And I got upset about that because I had heard so much about the white people calling black people niggers. And so I started fighting with her, and I beat her. And she called me nigger again. And I beat her again. And her grandmother came out and told us to stop. And she said, "Why are you fighting? You and my granddaughter fighting? Y'all supposed to be friends. Your mother worked for us, and we love Mary." That was my mother's name. And I said, "She called me a nigger." And she said, "You don't call people nigger." I told her I won't play with her no more. And so her grandmother said, don't feel that way." I said, "I feel that way. I said, because I'm not going to play with her no more." It never ended. It just got better. But we had started to get a little bit smarter. And so then take all the stuff that we used to take. Mm-hmm. It was around about when I became about 12 or 13, about 12 or maybe 11, all of a sudden it started where we started to ride in the bus. And but they never changed the difference in the school. We still went, the black went to school, the white went to school. But that the people that my mother was working for, they was kind of like all right white peoples. And their son, one of their oldest sons, was driving the bus. And he used to drive past us with all the white kids. And one day he stopped, but he wouldn't pick up the other black kid because my mother worked for his grandparents. And he said, Mary Weatherby, which was my mother, your kids can get on the bus. But he wouldn't let the other kids on the bus. So it was a black preacher in our town, Spring Hill, and he started to protest about that. And they started to, and from that, he was going somewhere, I guess, Halifax or wherever. He was, like, looking into that. And then they started to let the black kids ride the bus, but it still was segregated because we still didn't ride together. And my sister and I came to Philadelphia one time. We rode on the trailer way, and we were coming to Philadelphia. And we got on the trailer way. It was me and my sister, we had kind of like tried to get away from that racist stuff. So me and my sister got on the bus and we sat on the front. And the white guy got his stick and kept hitting in the back of the bus. And we didn't pay him any attention. And he kept right on hitting in the back, in the top of the bus. And so me and my sister said, "Well, why he hitting the top of the bus like that?" And then he got all red in the face and he said to us, "Niggas don't ride on the front. Niggas go all the way in the back." So me and my sister got up because we was taught not to fight with nobody. Mm-hmm. So me and my sister got up and went in the back of the bus, but we was like real upset with that because we were wondering why is the white, it was like everything, it was like to stores, to restaurants, to bathroom, anywhere you go. I came to Philadelphia to stay. Mm. Yeah, I came to Philadelphia to stay.
So was it better here when you got here?
Yeah, it was better here, but it was very place that we went to that we noticed it was almost the same thing that was in North Carolina. Mm. I always wanted to be a registered nurse. Mm. And I tried to do that after I came to Philadelphia, which I did start in nursing school, but I couldn't afford to pay for the tuitions and stuff, so I had to drop out. So my sister and I did domestic work for a while. Then from that, we had to do that to work up city reference of what they told us. And after we got our scissors repping, then I started working like places like nursing home. Then I worked in the hospital. And then from that, raised our kids. We were successfully, we were successful in what we did. We sent our kids to school because I wanted them to have better than I have, so. To be honest, it's the same thing that was going on then, but they're just doing it in a modern way.